Hello, and welcome to another episode of May the Power Protect You, a podcast where we talk about everything that goes on with Power Rangers, including some potential board game news, and a ton of comic book stuff that came out this past week, and just, you know, everything that goes on in the Morphin Grid. I'm one of your hosts, Joel, and with me, as always, is...
Hey, who turned out the lights? Oh, it's getting a little dark in here, I guess. Hi, it's Kevin.
It's because you're sitting under the shade.
No, I mean, we'll delve into what I'm talking about soon, so it's fine.
Yeah. But before we get started, like we do every week, we want to take a moment to stop and encourage our listeners to find a way that you can be a hero out in the world. In the past, we've highlighted things like the Black Lives Matter movement, which is ongoing and still requires support and help, to the current ongoing and constant attacks upon trans and reproductive rights all across the U.S. We encourage you to find a way that you can help, whether that's donating time or money, joining in protests safely where you can, you know, watching streams that generate revenue for nonprofits, or even, you know, beginning the steps to educate yourself on these topics so you can understand what's going on. Just find a way that you can help. Let's be a hero in your own way. Let's try and make this world a better place. With that said, we'll dive into kind of our first topic, because this past week, Renegade Games announced they were doing one of their Renegade Summer Cons live streams. It'll occur on June 9th on YouTube at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. There will be two panels, but one is more focused on their general gaming. The other is tied to their, like, World of Darkness that they have kind of set up. So the Just Wait stream, where more than likely we'll have some Power Ranger news, they've said that they will reveal over 20 new game products from your favorite lines, as well as some surprises. What do you think could be in store here from Renegade Games? I have an idea, and I'm sure you do as well. But what do you think?
Money.
Yeah, I mean,
lots of money. They own 51% of this company.
I mean, they own a large chunk of Hasbro's gaming stuff, at least at this point.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of good things coming from the game factory. But, you know, I am guessing we'll probably see an announcement of... Has Light and Darkness been fulfilled yet? Is it already done?
Yes. Yes,
it's okay, done. Okay, cool. That's how out of the loop I am. That's how long it's been. I'm guessing we'll probably get a teaser or a full-on reveal of the next Heroes of the Grid expansion, big box campaign. We might see something for the deck builder game, get a little bit more of the Shattered Grid stuff. I could see that.
Yeah.
And I would say probably we'll either get more info on the Monster Manual or even get like the PDF pre-order early drop, shadow dropped. So that's my expectations. What about you?
Yeah, that's about the same. I mean, the big thing is going to be that Heroes of the Grid big box, because they just began fulfilling the Allies pack number 3 and the Shadow of Vengeance packs that they had revealed at the beginning of this year. And so right now there is not anything currently open for pre-order for Heroes of the Grid, and we know that they're really interested in that. So we know they've teased back in the past like what the potential big box could be for this year, and that whatever pre-order campaign they're doing, there's supposed to be a substantial bonus for ordering this time. So I'm sure we'll get all of those details and get that dropped this.
Yeah.
So I am really excited for it.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Bring it on.
For sure, for sure. And with that, we'll move into some comic book news real quick. Because Mighty Morphin Power Rangers 30th Anniversary Comic Special number 1 has officially been revealed. Finally, after they've talked about it so many times in the Kickstarter.
After 10,000 years.
It's free. It will be featuring stories written by Amy Jo Johnson and Matt Hostin, Ryan Parrott, Maria Ingrande Mora, and Matt Groom. Art will included will be from Henry Persetia, Eleonora Carlini, Marco Rennett, and Joy Min Kyung, and Dan Mora takes main cover responsibility. And kind of the tease stories that they've kind of told us about so far include Alpha 5, the robotic AI assistant of the Power Rangers, struggling to find his new purpose, a focus on Ernie and his juice bar at Angel Grove, a new what-if story taking place in an alternate universe focused on the Green Ranger, Tommy Oliver, It returned to the Ranger Academy after its recent introduction in the Ranger Academy 2023 Free Comic Book Day special, and another Tommy starring story taking a closer look at his marriage to the second Pink Ranger, Catherine Hillard Oliver.
Yes, so, Catherine keeping her name.
I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
What did you think of this announcement? Is there anything that's like intriguing you about it? Is there anything you're excited about in what's been revealed so far?
I mean, I think this is going to be a lot of fun, and I think it's definitely going to be interesting. I know Ryan in particular, he teased like how he's writing a story for one of the lesser known, or like, not lesser known, but like he wants one of the smaller Ranger crew characters to get their due. So I'm assuming he's writing about Ernie, which I would love to see Ryan's take on Ernie, like doing an Ernie-based story. But I mean, it's pretty standard for a Mighty Morphin 30th anniversary issue. I loved the 25th anniversary issue and what it brought when it came out a long time ago, 5 years ago now. We'll see what happens. We'll see what unfolds. I am just really excited to see what we get. I think it's going to be fun to learn a little bit more about Ranger Academy. And of course, a tie-in from Ranger Academy makes sense. And I, of course, am looking forward to the annual reprinting of Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 0 that Boom always likes to do.
Yeah, they do mention that there's going to be materials in it that are like reprints. And I'm like,
yeah,
guys, come on. Of course. I understand. But like, do we need to? I mean, I would hope because recent things like moved it up to like issue 40. So I would hope they would move it even further and we would now be in like issue 101. Maybe they'll include a reprint of. I don't know. Yeah. I'm excited. I'm curious to see the one that sticks out to me that I'm like, okay, is the What If story featuring a new alternate universe focused on Tommy Oliver. And I'm like,
yeah,
okay. So this will be number 3.
Mm-hmm. Maybe maybe this is a universe where the Green Ranger was part of the Core 5 and like another color was evil.
Yeah. I'm just like, or like, I don't know. Because I'm just like, well, how many more what ifs can we do? The what if is if he was turned good or what if he stayed evil? And we've seen what that world turns into. Just like, okay, I'm open to the possibilities. I am excited for all of the artists that are returning because it's pretty much everyone that's worked on the book series so far. I mean, Hendry Persecha is the first one that was drawing the issues. He drew like the first 20 issue or 19 issues of the series.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first, it was a lot of them. In the first like span of this series, he was the ones writing it. You know, Eleonora Carlini was working on Go-Go Power Rangers. She's done a couple other things. And then Mark Arena, funnily enough, does the issue we're talking about today. It's just really exciting to get a lot of those guys back.
Yeah.
I've also loved all of the variants that they revealed for this. Because, obviously, the main cover by Dan Mora is exquisite. It looks great. I'm weirdly kind of excited. There's one cover that they have that is just a picture of the Power Rangers from Mighty Morphin, season 3 or season 2.
One of the promo shot, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of want that one. I'm just like, I like that picture. And I'm like, I just want that. And I know the one you were excited about was the villain variant that has all of the villains in a wraparound cover from both the TV show and the comic book world.
Yeah, and I love it because like they even had Pinstripe, who was the villain of the Wild West Rangers episode. Like they've included him on there, and that's a deep cut. Like kudos to whoever designed the cover because that is a deep cut right there.
It's the one artist, Bon Barant, I think it's the author. I need to get the actual artist's name. But they're a really great artist. They do a bunch of stuff. They're huge Power Ranger fans, too. They've done a bunch of variants for a while now on the series. They do a ton of commissions. If you've seen any of the one, people get commissions all the time of other Rangers being other, like, different Rangers from the series. Because there's one recently that was, like, Trini and Kimberly morphing into Zeo Rangers.
I remember that.
Yeah, that's this artist. The same artist did that cover, did the villain variant. So yeah, they're very good, and obviously they're fans of the series, so I'm not surprised that they would include kind of weird, random characters like that.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to see what this is. Like you said, the 25th anniversary had a lot of like really fun stories that like push things forward. if I remember correctly, that's where the like Trial of Astronomer story is.
Yeah, and that's
one of my favorite. Yeah, that's one of my favorite stories that's ever been put in Power Rangers comics, because it's one of the few things I think moves things forward. So I'm excited to see what this special does as well.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm also interested in seeing the story about Tommy and Catherine. Like, I think that'll be interesting. I know it caused a little bit of a stir recently because people were like, they're not married, and like we had to remind people, like, when by we, I mean the Ranger fans on Twitter, had to remind people that no, they're married. Like, it's canon.
What?
It's canon.
What is there to argue on that? Yeah, I don't understand what there's. I'm excited for that too, because I want to see what the framing of it is, because like I would really, I mean, my hope is that it's more cat focused, which is weird for me to say as someone who has said on this podcast multiple times that she's not necessarily my favorite.
You probably had to like hold back the vial.
No. I'm just saying I would like it to be more focused on like her perspective of things, because I think so often, and this is no shade to the fact that like I think there's a reason why this issue is very Tommy focused.
Oh yeah, clearly.
Come on, yeah. Like, but I Tommy gets a lot of the interior. Like we know what that character will do in a lot of situations, whereas Kat has not really had that, and oftentimes she's a character that across her seasons kind of has to fit the mold of whatever they're trying to make her do this time. So I'd be really interested to see someone define kind of Kat, especially in her relationship with Tommy, and what that's like to be married to him.
No, I think you could do a lot of fun things of like exploring the fact that they have a shared backstory of like being manipulated by Rita, and like they've been Rangers together, and like how their relationship kind of developed and blossomed. The one thing I will say I don't hope for that story is, I hope it also doesn't become a like Catherine feels insecure about Kim type situation, where she wasn't the first Pink Ranger or Tommy's first Pink Ranger girlfriend. I don't want it to go that direction either, and I hope it doesn't. But
yeah, that's like the least interesting place you can take it. And I think the more interesting thing is like Kat as a person when she's married to the Power Ranger in that universe, who is the person that like every time you call a crossover together, he's the first to jump on call. So what I would be really fascinated to have like, well, what's it like for Kat?
Yeah,
is she like, well, no, I want to come this time. Like, I was also a Power Ranger. I want to go do this.
Yeah,
And I would really like to see like her kind of putting her foot down and be like, no, I am as important as you, I deserve to go. So I would be more interested in that, and especially exploring their relationship dynamic, because I think that's the thing that like the reason why people are like they're married ? Is probably because like the franchise has acknowledged it but has never defined it. It's just like a thing that exists.
I mean, it was canon back in Zio. Like,
yeah,
they set that up in 1996.
Yeah, it's just more like, what does that look like now? And I think there's a lot you can mine and play with there. And without having to do anything about Kimberly, I don't think you even have to acknowledge her at all.
Yeah,
and also, Amy Jo Johnson's going to be writing a story in this, and we're positive it'll probably be a Kimberly story in some way. Like, it would be very surprised if she doesn't center herself in whatever story she's writing.
I figured she'd be writing a Mrs. Appleby story.
Oh, we'll get the in-depth look of Mrs. Appleby. We'll see.
This is her story.
Yes.
Appleby, the miniseries, coming soon to comic shops near you.
Gosh. Anyhow, we will move right along from here to the comic that released this past week, which was Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 108. And this was written by Melissa Flores, illustrated by Marco Renna, colored by Francesco Segala with assistance by Gloria Martinelli, and lettered by Ed Dukeshire. And the description for this one is, in the past, Rita retrieves the mysterious vessel with one of her close allies, who is shocked to discover the vessel's true identity. In a chain of emotional events, the vessel himself will have to contend with where his allegiance will lie in the end. Will he be a friend or foe for the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers? So this is an interesting issue because it's a kind of pause button on everything that's currently going on.
Yep.
And this is not a unique type of issue. This actually feels like kind of almost a callback Because if you've been reading the series for this entire run, in the first 20 issues, every 5 issues was like a side story.
Yeah.
We would take a pause from what was going on in the main story and we would like focus on a side issue. And this feels very evocative of that.
It does. It also feels very evocative of the Free Comic Book Day issue a few years ago for Shattered Grid. But more on that.
Yeah, there's reasons for that. And I do like kind of the centering of the Vessel as the character that we're going to be focusing on with this issue. We get the reveal that was revealed last issue that, hey, this is Zordon's body that Rita kept. I love the fact that, like, this character is kind of given their... It's all focused on them, and I think because we have not had any kind of personality, any idea that this character has an interiority to them, I like that this is how we're getting into them. I really enjoyed this kind of thing that Melissa is doing here.
Yeah, no, I think it's a beautiful issue that not only looks at the Vessel and, like, you know, it's the idea of when your mind and soul have been taken away, what remains? Which is also very, like, I just went to a play recently that actually evokes that kind of idea of what remains. But also, like, it's Melissa's take on the examining who is Zordon, what does it mean to be him, and, like, it's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it's also, like, again, like, Melissa's run has been really defined by, especially, like, since she's taken over, it's been defined by this idea of, well, who are you and who do you want to be?
Yeah.
We see that in Rita and her taking on the Mistress Vile role. We've seen it in the Rangers kind of questioning, you know, do they want to keep being Rangers forever? Like, you know, it's this internal question of, like, who am I and who do I want to be? How do I want to achieve what I want to achieve? It's this very interesting kind of internal struggle rather than, like, you know, a monster has been created and you have to fight it. It's a very fun kind of interesting thing she's playing with, I think, across the board. And I do just want to shout out Marco Reda on art. Love having him back on art duties. I think their work is so great. It has such a clean, fresh take. And I think this issue really benefits from it, especially in the scenes where, like, the Vessel, like, there are silent panels throughout this. And it's just the character of the Vessel as they move through the battle that is ongoing that we've seen in the last couple issues going on. And I really enjoyed that a lot.
Yeah, very impactful, very powerful. And it really highlights, I think, having the text, the dialogue-less pages and panels, like, it really highlights just how bad things are. Like, I mean, even, like, in the lead up to 100, and we were like, things can't get worse than this, right? And and guess what? It can. Which I think is so fun that, like, looking back on this arc, especially, like, it. I think one thing I really enjoy about the comic series is that each writer is able to take their own spin on, like, their scenarios, but, like, they still manage to up the game every single time. Like, you know, you have sometimes, like, some series it gets, like, really, like, Dragon Ball. Ongoing series, like, they keep raising the stakes, but, like, it's always just the same gravitas of, like, there's this big bad guy, we gotta go beat him and power up. But, like, each of these arcs have felt very personal and, like, unique, and I really enjoy that. So
and I do think it's you know, Melissa is one of the writers in, like, the massive universe over at Image, along with Kyle Higgins, who was one of the previous writers, and Ryan Parrott, who is also one of the previous writers. So I do like to think that, like, her being in proximity to them is kind of why she, like, vibes on the same wavelength as them. It's also great because Melissa has such a familiarity with the brand and knows it so well that, like, not only does she know the characters and can kind of push them in different directions that fit with who they are but still change them in ways that's really exciting. I also like the fact that she knows enough of the lore around everything that she can play with threads that exist. Like, one of the fun things is at the beginning of the issue, we have this moment with Mistress Vile and Alpha One, where Alpha One is shown who the Vessel is, and, you know, Alpha comments, you know, how did you do this? You trap Zordon on a time warp, how did you get the body? And there's this great throwaway line that Mistress Vile has where she's like, oh, I had someone collect the dragon coin in this and stow them on two different places so that I would have a contingency plan if I ever needed them. And I'm just like, that's all you need sometime to do a nice little bit of continuity and playing with it. I hope one day we get to find out who is Rita's errand boy that went and gathered those things for her. I'd be fascinated to get those.
I'm putting money on the Wizard of Deception.
I could see that.
Yeah.
But also, he's one that she tends to go to, as we've seen in, like, Kyle's run before Shattered Grid. Yeah. That's a person you approach. It's not one that comes to you. So I think there's fun you could be had in having, like, another character from throughout the franchise that she hires and says, hey, you do this for me, and I'll pay you back when I get out of a dumpster.
Yeah. Yeah. Or it's like Scorpina or something.
Yeah, it could be, because she's one of the ones that wasn't in the dumpster at the time. So there's some interesting things that you can do with that. But then we get into kind of the thrust of the issue, which is this conversation between the vessel and Zordon.
Yes.
You know, the vessel, you know, breaks into the command center and takes out Rocky and Adam and Alpha, and then has this mind meld moment with Zordon where they talk in a space. And it's, you know, obviously Zordon is taken aback by the fact that his body is up and moving around.
Yeah.
For sure. Anyone would be.
Yeah. I mean, naturally.
And then we get this like great moment where like, oh, the vessel's like, you know, hey, I didn't come here to murder you. As you can tell, I knocked the Rangers out. I didn't kill them. I could have done that. He's like, I'm here to talk.
except he stabs Alpha in the chest.
Look, we can't get into robot personhood. That is a complicated topic.
I know.
He did murder Alpha, but like
the poor Alpha series here in the last couple of months, they've just been getting the pits, haven't they?
I mean, look, when you have a number at the end of your title, people treat you like, you know, they can keep rebuilding you. But yeah, they've not had a good run these last few months.
No, they haven't. Just a moment of silence for Alpha 8.
Long may he reign.
Yes.
But so the conversation is very interesting because the vessel pretty much propositions Zordon, like, you know, hey, Mistress Vile has explained to me that I am to become a vessel for Dark Spectre. I come to you and I ask, why is that a bad thing and what is my other option?
Yeah.
Why should I choose to do this? Why should I choose to be good?
Mm-hmm.
And there's this great moment of like Zordon, like, you know, the vessel plunges into Zordon's mind and like shows his failures, shows like the 1969 team, shows like the stuff on like with the Altarians and how they failed. You know, he plumbs Zordon's mind and it's like, here's all the ways you failed. How is your way better than what Mistress Vile is proposing?
Yeah, which is really a great moment overall, I think, because it also feels like such a celebration of everything the comics has done so far.
Yeah, it is like, kind of like a tour of like, hey, here's what we added to continuity.
Yeah, like honestly, I would argue that like this is a good, like, if you haven't read the series, start with this issue. Like, I feel like it's a good starting issue at this point, and I think that's partly why they did this.
Yeah, especially leading into what we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah.
But I like this kind of philosophical discussion, this emotional discussion between the vessel and Zordon of just like, you know, why should I go the path that you did? Or shouldn't I? Should I not follow this? Like, the vessel is kind of a blank slate and they're aware of that and they kind of know that they're being pulled in different directions, but they don't know what they want to do. And I like that the resolution to this whole conversation isn't Zordon making like a huge speech of being like, well, you must do good. The Morphin Grid is important. All things must be healed. Instead, it's Zordon going, it's your choice.
Yeah.
I can't tell you what to do. I can tell you how I failed, but I can't tell you to do good.
Yeah.
And I think the thing that Zordon gives the vessel is like, you know, we are no longer one. You are free to do as you please. I give you the gift of free will, the gift of choice, do as you must.
Yeah, I think the implication was that he broke the spell Rita put on him, I think, right? Like, on the vessel?
There is that, and that's kind of that idea of that's by breaking the spell that Vile put on the vessel, he is, you know, freed the vessel to make a choice.
Yeah.
You know, that can be to go back to Mistress Vile and become the vessel of Dark Spectre. That can be to fight them and be good. It, you know, that's up to this new entity. This is up to this new life that has been created.
Yeah. Yeah, agreed. And I think it also highlights, like, it's almost like the period on Zordon's thesis statement by doing that, because Zordon talks about through the issue, like, how he has hope that, you know, things can get better and things can be better. And I think, and it's the idea, I think what I really enjoy about this issue, and I think it's rather timely, to be honest. Like, the timing on this couldn't have been better, because, you know, of course, Becca and Alwyn recently did an interview where they talked about Once and Always, and, you know, they talked about how, like, Power Rangers inherently has a cheesy factor to it, and how, like, it does have that, like, camp. And there were some sections of the fandom that were pushing back and saying, no, you shouldn't have to have that. It can be that, like, I think it's the idea, because one of the things that I always push back, not Power Rangers alone, but in any franchise or in any media in general, is this idea that we have to be edgy. We have to, you know, we have to make Superman evil. We have to make, you know, all this, quite frankly, bullshit. Like, it's like some people just haven't got out of their teen emo phase. And I think that's what this issue really does. It's like, it highlights what the core of Power Rangers is, or at least one of the tenets, which is hope for a better world and hope for a better day. Because, and I think it's just really eerie timing on all that. So I thought it was a beautiful issue, and I think it aligns perfectly of what the idea of Power Rangers is, especially the Zordon era.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And I think there's a bit in that, too. I like the fact that this is, again, Zordon making another sacrifice. Because, like, Zordon could easily be like, hey, that's my body, I'm getting back into it.
Yeah.
But instead, he sees this entity, this being,
as another
thing growing, as another potential life. And he's like, no. I will sacrifice me having a body if it means you get to live and make a choice.
Yeah.
And I think there is something kind of interesting in, like, how Zordon can make sacrifices and how he makes decisions on things like this. And I really enjoyed that. And I'm glad that Melissa brought that forward.
Yeah.
Because I think that's a part of the character of Zordon that sometimes gets a little lost, because everyone wants to be like, he was a terrible mentor. And it's like, yes, he was. Like, he's not infallible. But, like, I do think there is, like, a nature to Zordon that is, like, aware that he will have to make sacrifices beyond what he has already done, beyond the things he's lost. But, yeah, I really like this issue. I really like this kind of quiet moment.
Mm-hmm.
And with the news that also dropped this week, it's nice to have this quiet moment before everything apparently goes to hell.
Yeah.
Because this past week, Boom Studios announced that there will be a new event, a year-long event called The Darkest Hours, which will be kicked off in Mighty Morphin Power Rangers number 11, written by Melissa Flores, art by Simona DiGianfelice, colors by Raul Angulo, and lettered by Ed Dukeshire. And the kind of description we've gotten for that issue and kind of the setup for this new status quo is, Mistress Vile has won, or so it seems. And with the control of the grid and Dark Spectre's infections spreading throughout the universe, as if an epic battle between Vile and the Vessel wasn't enough, the separated and stranded Rangers receive help from the last team they'd expect, but it may not be the help they were hoping for.
Mm-hmm.
So, things are about to get bad. So I think it's interesting, you know, you mentioned the idea of hope. I'm excited to see if that is, like, a thing that Melissa kind of plays with throughout this new event of, like, hey, things are bad, but we have to keep going because there's a potential for a future that is good.
Yeah.
But what, you know, were there any other thoughts you had on, like, the Darkest Hours news? Like, when that was announced, what were your first thoughts?
I mean, it doesn't surprise me. This is what we've been building up to since Dark Spectre has been teased in Power Rangers Universe. I'm interested to see what this happens and how Melissa plays with the overall, like, because, you know, there's a sliding canon of sorts. Like, in this Mighty Morphin Power Rangers comic universe, they may have gone off.
Is there a sliding canon, or are we done with canon for now?
What I'm saying is like, there's established things that happen later on, like in space, things like that. Like, so obviously, if we ever eventually get, like, Countdown to Destruction, like, this is the comics Countdown to Destruction, basically, I feel like. But no, I mean, I'm interested to see, like, does Melissa, like, might this be, like, Dark Spectre gets destroyed and that's it? Or, like, does she, like, leave the tease open for, like, In Space to happen later on in the comic continuity? Because I would love to see a Power Rangers In Space comic, honestly. That would be kind of fun. Even as a mini. But anyway. I think it's going to be interesting. It is a year-long event, which we haven't had in a while. I feel like Shattered Grid was, like, a year-long event, wasn't it? Or was it a six-month
event? It was, like, a six-ish month event.
Yeah.
The closest thing we would have to, like, Necessary Evil was pretty...
Yeah, that's pretty true. Long. That's true.
Beyond the Grid would be the other, because it was also, like, 9 or 10 issues.
Yeah.
I'm curious at how that's going to work, because I think events sometimes are better when they're brief. That being said, I do love that, like, kind of Power Rangers... The comic series overall has had just kind of eras at this point. You know, we've had Shattered Grid, we had Necessary Evil, we had the Eltarian War. They're just kind of eras for everything, and I kind of love that whole idea.
It's a good storytelling.
It is. And I like the thing I'm intrigued by is it does mention that the Rangers are scattered.
Yes.
So I'm excited with the potential of that, of seeing the characters that she scatters. Who does she put where? Who does she put who with who? What do those characters then get to interact with, and what do those characters get to do?
Yeah. I think I'm excited about, like, who are they going to interact with outside of the team? Because, you know, do we see, like, Kimberly and Adam stranded on Onyx? Do we see, you know, Trini and Aisha, like, stranded on Miranoi? Like, it's across the universe, so really they could end up anywhere.
Yeah, and I also want to see what characters come in, because Mistress Violet's kind of cribbing on someone's whole role that they're supposed to have. So if she's the one that's leading Dark Spectre to victory, what is Astronema doing right now?
I'd be
really excited to see that character come back in and kind of have her interact with everything going on, or have the Rangers interact with her as they're, like, stranded. I think there's, like, a lot of really fun potential. I'm also curious to see what happens when you have the villains win for a little bit, because I think that always, and Power Rangers at least, sparks really kind of cool ideas.
It does.
Like, I mean, Turbo into In Space is, like, one of the greatest examples of that.
Yeah.
Divatox wins, and we get kind of a really new, fun status quo from that. So,
for sure. Well, and I think it's, like, it's really fun because this also, it leads into what will, because it's a year-long event, like, this is going to also be leading us into Mighty Morphin 125, which, you know, in the comics world, 25 is 25, 50, 75, and 100 are always very special numbers, at least for Ninja Turtles and Sonic the Hedgehog, weirdly enough. So I'm interested to see, like, will we get, like, kind of a grand finale leading into 125? And it just feels like a strong way to celebrate the 30th anniversary.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
and it
keeps the celebration going, which is nice.
Yeah, and I think it also it's gonna lead us into some really interesting directions, and I'm excited to get. I know you mentioned, like, we're continuity bending, and I'm like, nah, we're shattering this, and I'm so happy. I'm like, this is what I've wanted all along, and I'm happy that it, again, to bring it back to Melissa, I'm happy it's her doing it, because I think her history with the series is really what's gonna help this, and I'm excited to see again her explore more of the ideas that she's already playing with, and kind of what she does with this new status quo in the Ranger book for the next year. So,
yeah. And I mean, we have to think really too, exciting. We'll also be getting unlimited books throughout the year as well, because we've already got Draken's unlimited book coming out and the Hyperforce one. So
Hyperforce one.
Yeah. Cause I mean, and that's the thing too, the grid is anywhere and everywhere in the timeline. So, like, how is Hyperforce going to get involved? How is this going to impact the other realities and the other timelines? Like, what will happen? We don't know. Will this,
for sure?
Yeah, will this tie into Cosmic Fury? Like, who knows?
That would be exciting. Well, yeah, there's so much that can be done. I'm really excited to see all the pieces get kind of pulled in and get played with. So we will definitely get to see, and we will of course talk about that in future episodes. But with that, that'll kind of wrap up our episode for today. If you want to contact us, you can hit us up on Twitter at May the Power Pod, so long as Twitter still exists.
Yeah.
Or you can send us an email at maythepowerpod@gmail.com. You can find me on most social media at ThespisPunk. And where can they find you, Kevin?
You can find me on Twitter at BridgeMT3.
Like we do every week before we go, I just want to say thank you guys for listening, for checking us out, for keeping up. We really appreciate it. We love doing this, and we're happy that you guys check it out too.
Yeah.
But with that, as always, may the power protect you.